بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, as we are all well aware, we find ourselves on the doorstep yet again of the Mubarak and blessed month of Ramadan. And it feels as though it was but a few weeks ago that we were experiencing the previous Ramadan. The first 10 days came, thereafter the middle 10 days came, and then we exerted ourselves in searching for Laylatul Qadr during the last 10 nights. Thereafter was the search for the Hilal, the moon of Shawwal. Eid al-Fitr was celebrated. And then after a few weeks, the Mawsim al-Hajj, the season of Hajj, dawned upon us. Eid al-Adha was celebrated. And each and every person felt and thought to himself that I still have time before the next Ramadan. Yet, here we find ourselves once again on the doorstep of the month of Ramadan. In reality, this is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the kindness, the shafqat, the compassion, the mercy of Allah upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah affords us these golden opportunities during the Islamic calendar. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib rahimahullah would give the example of the radios of old, which would have a dial that would need to be turned. And that radio would need to be tuned to the correct frequency for a person to catch the station that he wished to listen to. In the very same way, for us to tune the heart, to tune the mind, to latch on to the correct frequency, to pick up the airwaves of the mercy and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would exhort the sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and by extension his ummah till the day of qiyamah, فَتَعَرَّضُوا لِنَفَحَاتِ اللَّهِ, that stand up, open your chest, open your heart, put yourself forward to latch onto the airwaves of Allah's mercy. Take advantage of the opportunity afforded to you. These golden moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents to us. And we can well imagine, respected brothers and elders, if preparation has not been made to welcome the guest of Ramadan, the father contacts the son who is living in another city, and he says, my childhood friend is coming to your town. Please go to welcome him at the airport. Take care of him, host him. This person shares a very close relationship with me. We can well imagine if that son takes this command of his father lightly. He arrives late to the airport to pick the person up. He's not interested in seeing to his needs. The guest room is not prepared. Barely any arrangements have been made for his stay. What won't the reaction of the father be? You have let me down in front of my childhood friend. You have shown disrespect to me. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah is not in need of our examples. But as though Allah has sent the guest of Ramadan to each and every one of us, to what extent will my preparation be? Accordingly will be the level of benefit that I will derive from the month of Ramadan. And therefore, respected brothers and elders, we have heard over the past few weeks, and we will undoubtedly continue to hear over the next few days and weeks, a number of guidelines, pieces of advice with regard to preparation for the month of Ramadan, and thereafter how to conduct ourselves during this Mubarak month in order to maximize and draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I wish to mention just three very simple yet effective guidelines, and perhaps such guidelines which are commonly overlooked in preparation for the month of Ramadan. And inshallah, if we will abide by these three guidelines, and we will take it upon ourselves to make these three points a focal priority in the month of Ramadan, then we will find that at the conclusion of the month of Ramadan, we will come out with our balance sheet of a'mal in the positive. First and foremost, respected brothers and elders, generally when Ramadan dawns upon us, then we find a great amount of emphasis, and rightfully so, is placed upon the increase in the quantity and quality of good deeds. And generally we will find a great deal of encouragement in this regard. And many people do increase their ibadat. They engage in extra nafil salah during the month of Ramadan. Their charitable endeavors are increased during this month. And undoubtedly this is a very valuable and profitable thing to do. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for every nafil action, a person will secure the reward of one fard. Every fard action multiplied by 70. But perhaps equally, if not more important than this, is for us to prioritize and make a concerted effort to avoid committing sins and evil deeds during this month. On one hand, the increase of good deeds. But more importantly, to avoid doing those things that will earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As an example for us to understand, and perhaps something that we all can relate to in the current climate, a person comes home in the afternoon, and he parks his vehicle in his driveway, and he opens the windows a little bit. Why? So that the cabin doesn't become too stuffy. And then he takes a rest, and later on, he leaves home once again. He puts on the aircon, and after driving a few kilometers, he checks once again. It seems as though the aircon is not working. He sees it is on. The temperature is set to the lowest. The fan speed is high. But he just cannot perceive the cool air of the aircon. And when he looks around, he then realizes that I forgot to close the windows that I had opened earlier. The aircon is doing its job, but the warm air that is coming in from outside has prevented me from feeling and perceiving the benefit of the aircon. In a similar way, respected brothers and elders, we may be exerting ourselves. We are coming for Taraweeh Salah, which is non-negotiable, we have to be here. We are waking up for Sehri. We are perhaps reading Tahajjud Salah at that time as well. The aircon is doing its work, the cool air is coming into our lives. But because we have not sealed the window of guna and sin, some evil habits that have crept into our lives from the last Ramadan till now, and we have not made a concerted effort to eradicate these habits. As a result of this, we fail to perceive the coolness of the benefit of the a'mal that we are carrying out. Undoubtedly, the winds of Allah's mercy will blow upon us. And the more we exert ourselves, the more we will become the recipients of this mercy of Allah. But if that window of sin has not been closed before the month of Ramadan, if we have not made an effort to identify and then a concerted effort to eradicate these evil habits, then we will pass through the month of Ramadan. On one hand, we feel as though we are exerting ourselves. But when the month of Ramadan reaches its conclusion, we will find that our balance sheet is in the net negative. Rather than earning anything in the court of Allah, unfortunately, we would have caused our good actions to go to waste. The month of Ramadan is the perfect opportunity, respected brothers and elders. The environment is conducive. The hearts are soft. The opportunity is there. Allah's rahmat and mercy is blowing upon the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But for us to make this a priority during this Ramadan, to identify and then eradicate the evil habits that have crept into my life, this will enable us to benefit fully from the month of Ramadan. So this is the first thing. And then Shah Hakim Akhtar Saab Rahimahullah explains an invaluable lesson that will assist us in this regard, and perhaps not just during the month of Ramadan, but throughout our lives. The young boy attending a dini program with his father in some state in America, and after the program somebody gives the youngster a sweet. And which child doesn't wait to receive a sweet? And generally the child will pop it into his mouth before his father can even think of saying no. But he observes this youngster, tarbiyat was made. And he tugs on the sleeve of his father. And he looks up to him and he says, Abba, is the sweet halal, may I consume it. Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahimahullah says, the young boy taught me a lesson of life. That my father may have left this world, I cannot look up to him and ask him. I may not have my Abba in front of me, but I can look up to my Rabba. That, oh my Rabb, oh my Allah, should I do this, shouldn't I do it? At every step of our life, especially during the month of Ramadan, should I do this, shouldn't I do it? Should I look at this, should I not look at it? Should I go to this place or not? Ask Allah the question, ask our heart the question. And then see the benefit of the minimal a'mal that we will do in the month of Ramadan. Secondly, respected brothers and elders, generally the advice that is given during the month of Ramadan is that this is a time for us to mend and remedy our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ A person develops the consciousness of Allah. He begins to communicate with Allah during the nights of Ramadan. He sheds tears. He cries out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes tawbah. He repents for having broken the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, a point that is commonly overlooked, and perhaps more important than this, as we learn from the Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is for us to also mend, remedy and rectify our relationship with the makhluq. With those people around us, it may be some family member, it may be a distant relative, it may be some colleague in my workplace, it may be somebody within my inner circle. There is bad blood between the two of us. I have done him down, or he has said something to me. The relationship is fractured, and I have not yet made an effort to mend this relationship. I have not yet made an effort to reconcile with this person. The entire year we are searching for Allah's forgiveness. We are begging Allah, looking for opportunities to secure the forgiveness of Allah. A few nights ago we passed Laylatul Bara'a, the 15th night of Sha'ban, just for us to understand the severity of this. From various riwayat we understand Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam highlights to us the level of Allah's forgiveness on such a night. Allah is prepared to forgive and overlook millions and millions of souls. Two particular individuals excluded, and other riwayat speak about other categories of people. Number one, al-mushrik. Ulama say, man afsada ilaqatahu ma'allahi ta'ala. That person who has destroyed his relationship with Allah because he has associated partners with Allah. And the second person, the mushahin. Man afsada ilaqatahu ma'annas. That person who has destroyed his relationship with people. There is bad blood between him and somebody else. The hadith of Muwatta Imam Malik, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is the narrator. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam explains, Tuftahu abwabul jannah. That twice a week on a Monday and Thursday, the doors of Jannah are flung wide open. فَيُغْفَرُ لِكُلِّ رَجُلٍ وَلِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا As long as the person has not associated partners with Allah, he is forgiven. إِلَّا رَجُلًا Except for one person. كَانَتْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنًا There is bad blood between him and somebody else. He has not made an effort to reconcile. And the announcement is made from the side of the malaika, أَنْظِرُوا هَذَيْنِ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا Delay their forgiveness as long as and unless they do not reconcile. I may have done someone down. Let us make a concerted effort, respected brothers and elders. We still have 10 days left. Contact the person, apologize. Communicate my intention to rectify matters between the two of us. And this should not be something half-hearted. On a lighter note, they explain, Ismail Bai is owing Musa Bai 100,000 rand. The night comes, the next day, the debt is due. And Ismail Bai is tossing in his bed, from right to left, unable to sleep. Eventually he gets out of the bed. He's pacing up and down, from one corner of the room to the other. And his wife says to him, what's the matter? He says, don't you know, I have a debt of 100,000 rand due tomorrow. I don't have a single cent in my account. She says to him, Ismail, why didn't you tell me? I'll sort it out for you. She wakes up, goes to the other room, comes back after a few minutes. She says, done, you can now sleep. He says to her, what did you do? She says, very simple, I picked up the phone. I said, Musa bhai, this is Ismail bhai's wife speaking. My husband owes you 100,000 rand. I just phoned to inform you he doesn't have the money, he won't be paying you tomorrow. Salaam alaikum. He says to her, what did you do? She says, now you go to sleep, let him walk up and down his room. So it should not be a half-hearted attempt, but rather a genuine attempt at reconciliation. If I have hurt someone, I have infringed on the rights of somebody else. Now is the golden opportunity. The month of Ramadan can be an excuse of sorts. Brother, please make me maaf. Forgive me. Genuinely. And if somebody has done wrong to me, somebody has taken my right, then for us to be large-hearted enough to forgive the person, to overlook his mistake, to forget the wrong that he has done to us. How nice doesn't a person feel when somebody forgives him? There's bad blood between you and some person. Words have been exchanged. Remarks have been passed. And you say, I will never share the table with this person again. And taqdeer has it such, Allah's system and plan is such, that you are at the same walima, same da'wat together. You arrive late, there's no other place, just one place on the table. And the host puts you directly opposite that person. Immediately you lose your appetite. How will I pass this evening? The words that have been passed between the two of us, the remarks that have been said to one another. And as you sit down, barely able to make eye contact with the person, and he taps you on the shoulder, by everything is maaf. Don't worry about it here, help yourself to something. We'll worry about whatever you owe me later on. The feeling of relief that floods through the heart of a person. Now my appetite is back, I can enjoy the evening once again. Let us become large-hearted like this. Somebody has done me down. Of course, if there's some monetary right that is owed to me, then this needs to be sorted out. But to overlook the mistake, to forgive the person for the pleasure of Allah. So just as the month of Ramadan is about building my relationship with Allah, more importantly that I rectify, reconcile, remedy my relationship with the people around me. And the third guideline, respected brothers and elders, we have heard time and time again, the month of Ramadan is the month of Quran. The month of Ramadan shares a very strong relationship with the Quran. It was the month in which the Quran was revealed. It was the month in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would recite Dhuhr to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore, as much effort as we can make in this regard, our efforts will not go unnoticed in the court of Allah. There is a lady in Karachi who writes a letter, and she addresses it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She commences the letter, Dear Allah. And then she goes on to narrate an incident. She says, the weather in Karachi the past week was bitterly cold. And as a result of this, my domestic worker was delayed in leaving home or leaving the workplace. The roads were closed, transport was not functional. And therefore, on a certain day, after finishing her duties and her tasks, she seeks my permission to remain behind indoors until the weather clears up. I gave her permission. And the lady of the house is narrating this and saying, the rain was falling outside. It was a very cold afternoon. So I settled down under my duvet. I had the latest novel in hand. I had a steaming mug of coffee with me. And as I was prepared to settle in for the afternoon, this young domestic worker, illiterate, uneducated, from a very low caste of society, she comes to me and she says, please, do you give me permission to make wudu and to use your copy of the Quran? So she says, I was taken aback, and with some sense of embarrassment, I went to the shelf, I took off the copy of Quran, I had to dust off the layer of dust that was on it, and I left it on the pedestal, and I told her, go and make wudu. And I was eager to see what will this young illiterate girl do. She says she goes, she makes wudu, she comes back. She takes the copy of the Quran, she sits down. And I am observing her every move. For a full 2 minutes, she looks at the Quran Sharif upside down, squinting, frowning. Eventually she realizes, she turns it around, and I see her open to the fourth juz, and then I witness her tracing the letters one by one. Lan tanalu lam noon ta. Painstakingly slow effort. Eventually she says, I could not take it any longer. And I called out to her, Tum kya kar rahi ho? Said, what are you doing? Do you know how to read? So she looks down, and with the tears mixing with the water of wudu, she responds and she says, Nahi. I do not know how to read. I am illiterate, uneducated. She says, what are you doing? She says, I have this desire to read Quran. And every day I go home, when I leave work, I get home. I have a copy of the Quran Sharif that my grandmother had left for me. I take this copy of the Quran, I put it on the desk, I make wudu. And for 1 hour every day, I just trace the letters of the Quran, hoping and desiring that Allah will teach me how to read Quran. This woman writes and she says, every word of this simpleton were like bombs that were exploding in my heart. That here I am with a novel in my hand. I looked at the tissue that I had used to dust my copy of the Quran, and a sense of overwhelming embarrassment overtook me. A feeling of guilt that I have every resource at my disposal. I have every opportunity available to learn how to read the Quran, to spend time with the Quran Sharif. And here is a simple, uneducated girl. But such is her desire. Such is her yearning to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan is the month of Quran. If I am unable to read, at least listen to the Quran. And just take note, respected brothers and elders. Perhaps 20, 30 years ago, venues were searching for Huffaz to lead the Taraweeh Salah. Now we have it such, Huffaz are looking for venues. Every second, third home, there is a Taraweeh Khatam taking place. Isha Salah will be around 8:15. From 8 o'clock to 10 p.m., just in our greater Overport area, Asheville, Sherwood, Westville, we perhaps cannot even count the number of Quran khatams that will be taking place. We can imagine the nur, the barakat, the blessings that will be descending from the sky upon the ummah at this time. Why should I be left behind? We all know in the last month or two, the price of gold and silver has shot through the roof. And every second person jumped on the bandwagon. People who perhaps never sold a commodity in their lives were now advertising, I've got coins for sale. I've got this for sale, trying to make it. I should not get left behind. Understand, respected brothers and elders, if we will attach ourselves to Quran, I will not just make my dunya, my qabr will be made. My iman will be made. My akhirat will be made. How can I get left behind? Just a little bit of effort is required from our side. To recap once again, 3 very simple, effective, yet commonly overlooked guidelines for the month of Ramadan. Number 1, just as we prioritize the increase of good deeds, together with this make a concerted effort to eradicate evil habits from our lives. Just as we prioritize our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise make an effort to mend our relationships with people and make the month a month of Quran. It may be just a little weak effort from our side, but Allah is ash-shakur, Allah is most appreciative. We'll end with this particular example. Alama Rumi rahimahullah has mentioned, to understand the appreciation that will be shown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the simpleton Bedouin living with his wife, and he gets laid off from his job, unable to make ends meet. His wife is putting pressure on him. Do something, make an effort. In today's time, send your CV somewhere, put in an application somewhere. And eventually, he's at his wit's end. He doesn't know what to do. So she says to him, at least go and meet the Khalifa Amirul Mu'mineen and ask him if he has any opportunity for you. The husband is embarrassed. He prepares to journey to the city to meet the Amirul Mu'mineen. And en route, he thinks to himself, how can I go empty-handed? He's a simpleton. So he takes a bucket and he fills the bucket with water from his local stream. And he thinks to himself, this is fresh, sweet water. Perhaps the Amirul Mu'mineen will appreciate my gift. Simple-minded man, he goes, he passes through the security checks, and finally, he can now see Amirul Mu'mineen. He says, "Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, I have brought a hadiya, a gift for you." He says, "What is it?" "This is a bucket of water from my local stream." We can imagine this is a man who is controlling the resources of the country. And here he's receiving a bucket of water as a gift. But such is the generosity. He is the Khalifa after all. He orders the attendants, take the water and spill it in the streets. And then fill this container with gold and silver coins. And tell this Bedouin, the simpleton, this is my gift that I want to reciprocate with. And he gives it back to him. The Bedouin barely understands, he brings it back home. Allama Rumi rahimahullah says, now his wife says to him, that don't you understand, without effort nothing will happen. But just a little bit of effort that you make, and now see how the situation has turned. Likewise, respected brothers and elders, the month of Ramadan is an opportunity for us to make that little bit of effort. In reality, what I am able to present before Allah is not even worth that bucket of water. It is perhaps best described as a muddy bucket of water. But Allah is the most generous. Allah is the most appreciative. Allah is ash-shakur. Allah will fill it not with gold and silver, with barakat, with anwar, with tranquility, with peace of mind and heart. Allah will give us afiyat. Allah will give us a pleasant life. Allah will bring about happiness within our hearts. And ultimately, Allah will give us His pleasure on the day of Qiyamah. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب